Hey there! I'm back with another Pig Slaying Theory. This time, Season 8, Episode 3, Part D. Remember, these are for listening to, and repeating, and you are learning expressions, slang, phrasal verbs, words that you might not know. These commonly confused parts of English that will make you become a more advanced English speaker. Again, watch the episode, listen to this many, many times. Let the information go deep into your head. Repeat, 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 and then watch the episode again. Try to watch it without subtitles to see how well you have learned this content. Okay? Here we go. First, I'd like to thank Vinicius and also Marcio for writing in and giving me the answer to some questions I had. I found out that Quidditch is actually a sport from the cartoon Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty. Quidditch came from Hello Kitty, and the girls would play around. No, just kidding. Quidditch is from Harry Potter, and most of you probably knew that. I am not a big Harry Potter fan, so I didn't know that, but now I do. And the guys on Big Bang Theory like Quidditch. So, thanks for writing in. Moving on. Here we go. First word we have here. Avocado. It has avocado on it. She's allergic to avocado. What is an avocado? Avocado is a fruit. Comes from a tree. It's green. On the outside, it's dark green. On the inside, it's bright green. And it has a big seed in the middle. In the U.S., we commonly use avocado for guacamole. Guacamole. Mexican dip. Here in Brazil, they usually eat it with milk. They make a milk drink from sugar. Not a big fan of that. I prefer the Mexican version, avocado. Next sentence. Are you so jealous of our relationship you want Amy to die? Jealous. So jealous of. To be jealous of something. Jealous of a relationship. Is you want that for yourself. Or you are feeling that somebody else is having something that you want. Your girlfriend is talking to the big muscular guy at the gym, and you're not a big muscular guy, you might get jealous. You want that attention. You want that attention from your girlfriend. You don't want her to give it to the big guy with muscles. But that's how it works. So you better start going to the gym and build your muscles. Or find another girl who doesn't care about muscles. There's an idea. Next phrase, the number 9, oddly, only a 4. The number 9, oddly, a number 4, Sheldon says. Oddly, strangely. Odd is strange. Oddly, strangely. So the number 9, he ranks as a number 4, and that's strange because it's 9. Sheldon's world, who knows? Don't think too much about that. Next one, which is why a curly fry only gets a 2. A curly fry. What's a curly fry? A curly, curly. A fry, we know what that is, right? Potato, potato, French fry. Curly fry is something that is a spiral. It's a circular, curly, curly. So a curly fry, I've never seen them in Brazil. In the US, they have them. If you've ever been to a fast food restaurant called Arby's in the US, they are famous for curly fries. Curly fries. Curly even sounds like the word curly. Kind of an onomatopoeia. Circular, spiral, not straight, curly. Which, in the next sentence, if I wanted curls for dinner, I'd order a clown wig. If he wanted curls, he'd order a clown wig. Probably know what clown is, but what about wig? Wig, W-I-G, W-I-G wig, is fake hair. Fake hair. A clown is a performer, comedian sometimes just ridiculous, but they wear fake hair and the wig is curly. He made the joke. If he wanted curls for dinner, he would eat fake hair. He's not a big fan of curly fries. Next sentence. Oh, what did those rascals do now? What did those rascals, R-A-S-C-A-L-S. What did those rascals do now? What is a rascal? In the U.S., there was a television program way back in the 50s or 60s called The Little Rascals. In the 60s, I think. The Little Rascals, a bunch of little kids. And they had a treehouse. They would have little adventures, little rascals. A rascal is basically somebody who causes trouble, mischievous. Usually, it could be a man, but usually children. And children who cause problems, mischievous, they do kind of, I would say, not so bad. It's not like a criminal. It's a rascal. So you say this lightly. Oh, you're a rascal. You do tricky, mischievous things. It's not so bad. Next friend sentence. Important. It's been around for 25 years. Something has been around. Has been around for. This is talking about how long it has existed or how long it has been happening. Commonly used. Very common. Use this phrase, know this phrase, to be around. It has been around. I have been around Brazil for 6 years, right? This restaurant has been around for 10 years. This restaurant has been around for 10 years. You could use negatively. She hasn't been around lately. She hasn't been around lately. Around, A-R-O-U-N-D, like a circle, around. She hasn't been around here. She hasn't been appearing around here. She hasn't been hanging out in this area. She hasn't been showing herself around here. She hasn't been around. It's been around 25 years. It's been around 25 years. This time has taken place 25 years ago. You can also use this in this case as approximately 25 years. It's been around 25 years. In this case, saying it's been around 25 years. Oh, how long is this lesson? It's around 20 minutes. Not exactly, it's around 20 minutes. Two meanings there, okay? Next sentence. Well, kind of takes the romance out of relationships. What I want you to think about here is take something out of, to remove, to take out. So, behavior, this calculation takes the romance out of relationships, right? If you study English formally with grammar and books and in classroom, that takes the fun out of learning English, takes the fun out of English, removes it from English. Phrasal verb take out, in this case, remove. When I order a caipirinha, I tell the waiter to take out most of the sugar, take out most of the sugar, because I don't like them too sweet. I don't like them too sweet. Take out most of the sugar, little sugar only. Next phrase, what you up to? To be up to is what are you doing? To be up to. What are you doing? To be up to, right? Good verb, to be up to something. What are you up to? Commonly used. Hey, what are you up to? What are you doing? So here he asks, what are you up to, right? And next one, there's no upside. There's no upside. To be upside is a positive factor. And there's no upside to him pitching the ball. There's no upside to him pitching the ball at the baseball game, right? There's no upside to this. It's kind of a no-win situation. There's no upside. What's the upside? What's the upside to you listening to this lesson? You are learning great, commonly used English with little effort. That's the upside. That is the upside, right? And if you screw up, next phrase. And if you screw up, you're an idiot on YouTube forever. To screw up. Phrasal verb. Screw up. Screw. S-C-R-E-W. screw up is to make a mistake. To screw up, make a mistake. Screw up means to make a mistake, and if you screw up, you're an idiot on YouTube forever if you make a mistake. If you fail. S-C-R-E-W, up. Screw up. To screw up, to make a mistake. Next phrase, okay, thanks for the pep talk. Thanks for the pep talk. Pep talk is a talk to get somebody motivated. You're going to motivate somebody. To pep them up. To pep them up is to give them energy, to motivate, to pep them up. Pep talk. Thanks for the pep talk. Next phrase, we should have never been comparing relationships in the first place. We should have never been. Nothing new here. Words are pretty common, but what I want you to look at is the grammar. One little grammar quick tip. We never should have been comparing. We never should have been. Past tense. This is called the perfect conditional. Something happened in the past, and you think it should have been differently. You wanted something to be different in the past. What makes this the past is the should. Should have been. Should have been. In the past tense, we never should have been comparing. He thinks his opinion that in the past, they should not have been comparing relationships. Okay? Past tense. We never should have been. I never should have gone to the beach because it was raining. I never should have gone to the beach because it was raining. She never should have called me because now I am stuck with her. She never should have called me. Now I am stuck in this relationship. We never should have been comparing relationships in the first place. Okay? Perfect conditional tense. If this is interesting for you, look up online the perfect conditional tense. Next phrase, you know, I say next, we take on Kothrappali and his dog. Phrasal verb, we take on. To take on is to fight or to compete against or to accept the challenge. Do you accept this challenge? Do you take on this challenge? To assume responsibility for, you could also say, I'm going to take on this project. I'm going to take on this project. I'm going to accept the challenge of this project. To take on. To take on. We're going to take on. I'm going to take on the responsibility of being the manager. Phrasal verb, to take on, right? What responsibilities have you taken on recently? Have you taken on any responsibilities recently? Next phrase, it really ties the whole stadium together. What the hell does this mean? To tie together. To tie the whole stadium together. To tie is to connect. Tie together literally means to connect. In this case, they're talking about the design of the place. The design. So this feature really ties the whole stadium together. It makes the whole stadium look like one fully designed piece. So, another example, you buy a new sofa for your living room and it completes the design of the living room. You say, wow, this sofa really ties the stadium, I'm sorry, the living room together. It really ties this together. It completes the design. Okay? So, for you designers out there, good phrasal verb, to tie, T-I-E, tie together. Next phrase, long phrase. I expected to see Howard throw the baseball, finish my hot dog, and hightail it across the street to Disneyland just in time for Mickey's sensational parade. Couple things here. To hightail it. To hightail it. Hightail, one word. H-I-G-H-T-A-I-L. H-I-G-H-T-A-I-L. The word high plus the word tail, like on a dog. Hightail. Hightail it. Hightail it is to do something quickly, to run fast, to go somewhere quickly, to drive quickly, to arrive somewhere fast. We need to hightail it to the airport. We need to hightail it to the airport because we are late. You were late for the meeting. You better hightail it. You better hightail it. You better move quickly. Hightail. I guess, metaphorically, you think of an animal with a tail in the air running quickly. Their tail is high up in the air, so they're running quickly. So in this case, they wanted to hightail it across the street to Disneyland. They're in California, Anaheim. Anaheim, California is where you will find the Angel Stadium and Disneyland. And they want to hightail it across the street just in time. Just in time for Mickey's Sensational Parade. Good expression. Just in time means to do something right exactly when it needs to happen. Right before something starts. We arrived to the movie just in time. We arrived to the airport just in time. We had no time to spare. We had no time to waste. We got there exactly when we needed to. If we got there later, we might have had problems. Okay? Just in time. Hopefully this lesson comes just in time for you to become a badass English speaker. Okay? Just in time. Sometimes you hear just in the nick of time. Just in the nick of time. More, it's an expression, slang, just in the nick of time. But here we say just in time. She arrived just in time for dinner. Just in time for dinner. I got this email just in time. Next phrase, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what is a way of saying basically you have a solution or you have a suggestion. And that's that. It's specific. I'll tell you what. If we stay, I'll buy you cotton candy. I'll tell you what. Basically saying like, listen to this. Listen to this. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'm going to help you if you help me. Listen to this. I'm going to help you if you help me. I'll tell you what. Okay? I'll tell you what. Next short phrase. Wish me luck. Wish me luck. Good phrase. Wish me luck means you want people to literally tell you good luck before you do something that's difficult, requires some sort of luck. You say, wish me luck. I'm going to take a test now. Wish me luck. I'm going to try surfing now. I'm going out in the water. Wish me luck. Wish me luck. We go to Disneyland, play hide and seek on Tom Sawyer's Island. Next phrase. Play hide and seek. Hide and seek. Hide and seek is a very, very popular game with kids. We play hide and seek. What happens? The kids go and hide, and somebody goes and seeks them. What does seek, S-E-E-K, mean? Seek is to search. Seek and destroy. Well, in this case, you're not going to seek and destroy the kids, but you're going to simply seek, find. Play hide and seek. What about in your country? Do you have hide and seek? Is there a hide and seek where you live? How do you say that? I would imagine you have that game. I would say most people around the world have hide and seek. So tell me in the comments below, how do you say hide and seek in your language? Next phrase, you suck. Wallow it simply, you suck. What does it mean you suck? You suck. You suck. S-U-C-K. This means you are bad at something. You are not good. You suck. This is a strong word. If you tell somebody they suck, they might get offended if they're not your friend. You suck. You suck, Wallowitz. You suck. So, hey, you suck. You could also say you suck at something. You suck at volleyball. You suck at playing the piano. Wallowitz sucks at every sport possible, obviously. He sucks at that. His robot sucks at pitching the baseball too. Last phrase for today. Okay, booing isn't gonna make it go any faster. Booing, booing, boo. Another onomatopoeia. It sounds like it means boo. Booing, not a cow noise, that's moo. Boo is what we, the sound we make when we don't like something that somebody does. So in the sports, you don't like what somebody's doing, you boo them, right? boo. In the U.S., we boo. In some countries, they whistle. Or they whistle with their mouth and their fingers. I don't know how to do that. Kind of like... something like that. You can hear that in other countries when they don't like what's going on. But in the U.S., we boo. What's the opposite of boo? When you clap. What's that? That's different. That's the opposite. Do you know the opposite? Boo or... give me the answer below. Let me know if you know the opposite of boo. B-O-O. Boo. It's also how we scare people. You say boo. But here, booing is making a sound. Boo. That's it for today. Hope you learned something in this lesson. Now, go back, listen again. The idea is not to just understand what I'm saying. The idea is to fully understand what I'm saying and then repeat it many, many times. Let your brain learn this and subconsciously put it into the depths, the deep parts of your brain. This is how you're going to take this content and actually use it in your own English. I'm not trying to help you understand it when you see it. I'm trying to help you use it as well. Okay? Any questions or comments, send me an email, kevin@inglesninja.com, and I will reply. Have a good one.